marketability for future jobs. These rules have little to do with what we were told was important in school. Academic abilities are largely irrelevant to this standard. The new measure takes for granted having enough intellectual ability and technical know-how to do our jobs. It focuses instead on personal qualities, such as initiative and empathy, adaptability and persuasiveness. This is no passing fad, nor just the management nostrum of the moment. The data that argue for taking it seriously are based on studies of tens of thousands of working people in callings of every kind. The research distills with unprecedented precision which qualities mark a star performer, and it demonstrates which human abilities make up the greater part of the ingredients for excellence at work, most especially for leadership. If you work in a large organization, even now you are probably being evaluated in terms of these capabilities, though you may not know it. If you are applying for a job, you are likely to be scrutinized through this lens, though again, no one will tell you so explicitly. Whatever your job, understanding how to cultivate these capabilities can be essential for success in your career. If you are part of a management team, you need to consider whether your organization fosters these competencies or discourages them. To the degree your organizational climate nourishes these competencies, your organization will be more effective and productive. You will maximize your group's intelligence, the synergistic interaction of every person's best talents. If you work for a small organization or for yourself, your ability to perform at peak depends to a very great extent on your having these abilities, though almost certainly you were never taught them in school. Even so, your career will depend to a greater or lesser extent on how well you have mastered these capacities. In a time with no guarantees of job security, when the very concept of a job is rapidly being replaced by portable skills, these are prime qualities that make and keep us employable. Talked about loosely for decades under a variety of names, from character and personality to soft skills and competence, there is at last a more precise understanding of these human talents and a new name for them, emotional intelligence. A different way of being smart. I had the lowest cumulative grade point average ever in my engineering school, the co-director of a consulting firm tells me. But when I joined the Army and went to officer candidate school, I was number one in my class. It was all about how you handle yourself, get along with people, work in teams, leadership. And that's what I find to be true in the world of work. In other words, what matters is a different way of being smart. In my book, Emotional Intelligence, my focus was primarily on education, though a short chapter dealt with implications for work and organizational life. What caught me by utter surprise and delighted me was the flood of interest from the business community. Responding to a tidal wave of letters and faxes, emails and phone calls, requests to speak and consult, I found myself on a global odyssey, talking to thousands of people, from CEOs to secretaries, about what it means to bring emotional intelligence to work. Over and over, I heard what became a familiar litany. People like the high-performing business consultant with the low GPA told me they found emotional intelligence, not technical expertise or book learning, to be what mattered most for excellence. My book, they said, made it safe to speak up about the business costs of emotional ineptitude and to question a narrow expertise-is-all view of capabilities. They felt they now had a new way to think about what they wished for in their own workplaces. People spoke with extraordinary candor about matters far beyond the reach of corporate PR radar. Many detailed what is not working. Such tales of emotional ineptitude are retold here without revealing the person's or organization's identity. But many others told success stories, confirming the practical value of working with emotional intelligence. And so began the 2-year inquiry that has culminated in this book. The effort has woven together several professional strands from my own life. From the outset, I've relied on the methods of journalism to delve into the facts and to narrate my conclusions. I've also gone back to my professional roots as an academic psychologist, conducting an exhaustive review of the research that illuminates the place of emotional intelligence in high performance.